From this morning with verses of Scripture upon our hearts, and we trust that it's of the Lord and that He would bless us for a little season that we have to look to His Word. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the 100th division of the Psalm this morning. This is all of God's Word is beautiful and wonderful, but this is one that seemed to be upon our heart this morning, and we trust it's in keeping with the beginning of this service and services that we hope to have. I'd like if the Lord would bless us to speak to you just for a few moments on the subject of giving thanks to the Lord and thanksgiving from the biblical perspective. Psalms chapter 100, the writing at the top of it says an exhortation to praise the Lord. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." We think about this psalm this morning, the sweet psalmist David, the man after God's own heart. We've been reading some this week about David's family. David's family sometimes found itself to be in a state of disarray. Some would say that that family was certainly afflicted with many problems and many troubles and trials. We think about David in his closing words or his last words in the book of 2 Samuel when he says, "Them that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." He said, "Although it be not so with my house," David readily acknowledged that all that he had done had not been just, it had not all been good. But he said, "Although it be not so with my house, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant." Amen. We think about David and we think about the things that God blessed him with in his life. He certainly was a wealthy man by any standard. He was a man of great wisdom. He was a man who blessed the kingdoms of Judah and Israel to be united together. He was a man who saw many times of peace that came after much battle and conflict. David dies in a relatively age of peace as he comes to the end of his life. He passes that kingdom on to his son by the name of Solomon, and we understand his riches and his wisdom, and that there was none equal to Solomon as far as his wisdom and his riches, and I believe that to be true even today. But we find that in the midst of all of this, sometimes sorrow that we saw in David's life, David lost four sons by death during his time. I've said oftentimes it's a tragic and must surely be a difficult thing to have to bury a child. David had to do that four times during the course of his life because the Scripture says that of his hand there would be required four that would come from his house that would die. David certainly fought many battles. I'm sure there were times that perhaps he suffered wounds, he suffered a hardship and agony and those kinds of things. But I want you to notice what he says, "to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." I believe that when we come to the Lord's house, we ought to be a people that come thanking Him for what He's done for us. And as we thank Him, you can't help but rejoice and be glad and be encouraged in the things that God has done for us. I look back in my life, brothers and sisters, this morning. I don't know how it is with you, but I shudder to think this morning, had God not plucked me out of the nature's garden, shall we say, and placed me, I trust, by faith and by hope into His garden of grace and love, I wonder where I'd be this morning. When I hear folks considering the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and they say, well, the only salvation that there is the eternal salvation, and they neglect the salvation that we find in the church, I shudder this morning to think, had the Lord not showed me the beauty of His kingdom and the beauty of His church. Brethren, as wrong as it may be, and as wrong sometimes as I feel in my heart, and Brother James, we sang that song this morning and it touched my heart. "That which I would do, I do not, and that which I do not, that I do. What I hate, I can't refrain." And you know, I think about that, and I can certainly understand this morning how that feels. But at the same time, I just think about God's grace and God's mercy. How that He came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thanksgiving that we can ever give is, as Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, when he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift." the greatest gift this world has ever known. This morning, if we never received another satisfying meal, if we were left homeless by the side of the road and could never again enjoy any of nature's comfort, to have the precious hope that Jesus Christ came and died for my sins. Brethren, that's enough there to be thankful for the rest of our life. That He would take upon Himself my form, the form of sinful flesh, the form of man that had fallen, and Jesus Christ would come from the ivory palaces of glory and take upon Himself the form of a servant in my room and my stead. I want to tell you something this morning, sisters and brothers. I was a servant sold under sin, in bondage to my sin, in bondage to my transgressions. But Jesus Christ came in like form, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and took upon Himself the sufferings that were justly mine and justly yours this morning. When I consider how great it is, I can say as the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. Amen. I can think this morning also that even though death reigns in this body and the effects of sin certainly continue to reign and do reign in our body, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to notice as we face the evidence around us of these bodies that are subject to decay, I looked around us this morning, as beautiful as these leaves are, their beauty is in a sign, showing a sign of their decay. They're soon going to turn brown and turn loose. We're in that same state this morning. We're in a state of decay. But I want you to notice what Paul says in verse number 51 of the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, he's saying we're not, there'll be some alive, and when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, there'll be some of His children alive. But if He tarries in His coming, he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now notice, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. That's the sentence that we're under, but notice what he says in verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, we've got something, thanks be to God this morning, he says, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came, died, and was placed in the tomb and rose victorious, he says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. We are more this morning, the scripture says in Romans chapter 8, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. There'll be none lost. There'll be none that'll fall away. They'll all be raised with him this morning. We've got something to be thankful for in the past. And we've got something to be thankful for in the future as we face the declining years of our age. Notice what he says. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I believe this morning when God's people, there were several times as I was trying to sing this morning, Brother Frank, I picked up the slack and I appreciate it because my voice cracked and I certainly was off key some because of the affliction that I feel. And even in a good day, brother, I'm still off key. But God looks upon the hearts of his people when we begin to work out what he's worked in. When he comes in the person of his spirit and these cold and stony hearts that have been given a heart of flesh, and he begins to play upon, as it were, the harp strings of our heart, and that which comes out is a manifestation of our love and praise to him. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I know sometimes maybe we don't feel like singing. Sometimes physically our voices won't hold up. Maybe we're short on breath and can't sing. But I think it's a natural thing in our hearts when we begin to think about what God has done for us. The birds in the morning sing. I believe it's because of the beauty of another day and the blessings of another day. How much more should the God's people, notice what he said, come before his presence with singing? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. The Lord is God this morning. I tell you, it's not Washington. It's not the president. I pray for these leaders. I pray for these. But I'm thankful this morning that the Lord, he is God. Amen. He's King of kings and Lord of lords this morning. The Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are this morning made in the image of God. We were created in His likeness, made in His image. We fell into sin, but we've been born again by the Spirit of God, and these earthly tabernacles now bear the mark of the heavenly. Notice what it says. He has made us. He has made us and not we ourselves. Notice, we are His people. Isn't that glorious? We are His people this morning.
Amen.
Oh, I want to tell you, we didn't have the people of, by nature. We were children of wrath, even as others. But this morning, the psalmist can say, we are His people. And notice, and the sheep of His pasture. You know, the very first account that we have of David was taking care of his father's sheep. Oh, he was taking care of his father's sheep. David, when he recognized that we're the sheep of his pasture, just as those sheep this morning in the shepherd's pasture, the shepherd cares for them. He takes them where they need to feed. He leads them beside the still waters. He shuts them up in the sheepfold at night. He secures that sheepfold by the presence of his own person and the presence of his body. He doesn't leave them. He doesn't forsake them. He realizes that they're needy. He realizes that they're defenseless. He realizes that the wolves of the world would certainly break in and destroy. David understands we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Jesus Christ guards the door of the sheepfold by His own body, which was shed, the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. That body that was raised incorruptible, it's always standing between the foes of God's people. He stands between the foes of God's people and His people this morning. We are the sheep of His pasture. Now notice verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I pray that God would bless us. Not only today, not only tomorrow, not Monday and Tuesday, and certainly not only Thursday when we sit down to that glorious spread that God has blessed us with and we feel like we've got to have, but He said, enter into His gates. Every morning when we wake up, we look out upon the world, we look out upon this world, may we enter into it with thanksgiving. Notice what it says. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Oh, be thankful unto Him. What do we have this morning? Even in the natural sense that we've not received. Notice the psalmist says over in the 68th vision of the psalm. He says there, verse number 17 of Psalm 68, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, as in the holy place. He's a strong God this morning. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from me, and yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Notice verse number 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Daily loads us with benefits. I want you to notice there's three words here. Daily, constant, every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, He daily loads us with benefits. Not just give us enough to get by on, not just give us enough every now and then when He thinks of us, but He daily loads us with benefits. Then notice not only is it daily, but He loads us. Abundance. Constancy. And then we see the abundance. He daily loads us, Brother Henry. Daily loads us. Loads us away. I think about when Joseph went back to get his father Jacob. And as they were going back, he loaded up the wagons with the good things of Egypt. I want to tell you something this morning. Our wagons this morning, they don't, an empty wagon, you see, it makes a lot of racket. It vibrates and shakes as it goes along. But I want to tell you, these wagons are loaded this morning. They're loaded. And what are they loaded with? With the benefits. Amen. You know, as we get older, we want to know what our benefits are going to be when we retire. When we hire on with a job, Rachel, may I just say, she got a job yesterday. I said, well, honey, did you ask them what the benefits were? Well, at 20 years old, she's not too worried about the benefits. At 47 years old, in my job, I'm really worried about the benefits. I want to know what the benefits are. It's not only the pay, what are the benefits?
Amen.
I want to tell you something. The benefits of the kingdom of God, the benefits that He daily loads us with, I want to tell you something. They're innumerable to count. Oh, notice what He said. He daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation.
Amen.
Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Notice what He says. For the Lord is good. Can you say that with me this morning? The Lord is good.
Yeah.
Oh, He's been so good to this wretch. Hey, the Lord is good. Notice, and His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. Even to this sometimes wicked, perverse, adulterous generation today. His mercy has continued even to this generation today. May the Lord bless us this morning to think upon the goodness of God. You know, that's a subject a lot of times when you're called on to preach and maybe not expecting. That's always a preacher can come up with something to talk about the goodness of God. That's a subject that's inexhaustible. And I've heard a lot of messages on how good God is. I've never heard anybody wear it out yet. Nope. Never heard the half be told. But I want to tell you this morning, He daily loads us with His benefits. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful unto the Lord. Oh, for we are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture. Come here.